This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
And of course, Tristan Casas from earlier in the week talking about Rafael Devers should stay at third base. Welcome back into Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Travis Thomas in for Jones today, and Devers, of course, got this whole thing started earlier in the week saying he wouldn't move off of third base. It's his position. Casas, like, tripled down on it. He had even more to say. I want to get your take on it. Jones and I, obviously, were kind of laughing at it. We're glad that Casas is, you know, answering these questions and not just giving you a cliche answer, but it is causing, I would imagine, quite a bit of a headache for Alex Cora and for everybody else involved, because he's now assigning positions to Bregman. He's also pushing whoever might be competing at second base out of there. And just all the stuff that he's saying is, I can imagine they're not taking it as well as we are. But what was your take on it?
From a player perspective, I thought Casas was just defending his guy, his teammate. I didn't think it was timely. I thought maybe he should have sat it out and had a little more, maybe some better decision making there, and just, I'm going to stay out of this. My name's Bennett and I ain't in it style. But he didn't do that. Nope. And I just, in the end, I laughed too, but I was like, okay, at the essence, he's just defending a teammate. I thought Devers was the one in the wrong. Like, bro, just either keep your mouth shut or say, look, I'm going to compete for that job. Mm-hmm. I'm not just giving it up. But what you don't do is say, oh, no, there's no shot I'm not playing third. What do you mean?
Yeah.
I don't care who's here. I'm Raffy. Mm-hmm. That was a mistake. Meanwhile, the only adult in the room was Bregman.
Yeah, no
who
surprise.
Who said, wherever you need me.
Yeah.
What do you need me to do?
Yeah, I'll do it.
I got it. You know, it's, you want me to make Fenway Franks too? Whatever you need, I got.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was the right way to handle it. I'm more confused by this whole thing, big picture, because Alex Cora from the jump has always said, listen, like, if we bring in someone like a Bregman, I can move him around in the infield. I can play him at second base. It's no big deal. Raffy's our third baseman. Cora's always said that. And so somehow we ended up here. So I'm just like, what was behind the scenes? What was lost? Where did we go wrong? I thought it was always Raffy's at third. Now all of a sudden, this becomes this big thing and Raffy's all in his feelings. So I'm kind of looking at Cora like, where did you lose the messaging along the way?
Yeah, what was the communication like with Devers this whole time? Because from the outside, we knew they were interested in Bregman.
That's right.
So how did they not know that that might be a reality?
And Cora's talked about that in the past.
Yeah.
Winter meeting stuff, like way back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, hey, if we bring in Bregman, Raffy's our third baseman. So what happened?
Something changed there. And when Cora brought up the line about, because somebody asked him, like, well, was there any agreement, like, when he signed his contract? And he's like, well, the guy that signed his contract's in St. Louis.
Right.
When he said that, I was like, man, like, this is the first time Cora's really willing to move him from third base, which we have not really heard. But also, I feel like the way Devers has gone about it is, if he ultimately moves off of third base, it's such a bigger deal than it would have been.
Yes.
If you just moved him to DH, I think a lot of Red Sox fans would be like, okay,
it great. Makes sense.
And they wouldn't have even, like, looked badly at him. You'd been like, all right, the guy's a really good hitter.
Yeah.
This is a franchise that had David Ortiz as a DH, so we actually respect that position.
That's right.
And now it's going to be like, man, that was against his wishes. How pissed is he? Like, is he going to kick and scream about it? And then it doesn't help when he shows up to camp out of shape and he can't even field grounders yet. Like, what a mess.
Bregman is a better third baseman.
Absolutely.
And that's not opinion.
No,
the numbers.
Every
back that
single
up.
Metric.
Every metric
back
backs that up. So that's what I mean. Some of this feels like it should have just been communication. We always say communication's everything, right? I don't, for the life of me, and I'm not in the building, so I don't know, where was the, I don't understand where the lines got crossed. And so, because Cora's been consistent across the board, and maybe, I don't know. I think now you start the season, obviously, with Devers at third. You just don't play any games here. But
so
I,
you think
I don't,
so? I think
do.
So, too.
I do.
We had Rob Bradford on yesterday. He and Jones both think Bregman's going to end up starting opening day at third.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either, just because there's more of a domino effect.
Yes.
So, right now, you're paying Masataka Yoshida a lot of money to DH.
That's right.
And you've got to figure out something for him to do if Devers is going to be the DH. Also, as much as I like the idea of Christian Campbell, I don't know if he's ready to rip it right from opening day at second base. So you do have kind of an opening there at second.
Yes.
So I think you're upsetting the fewest amount of people by just having Devers play third. But your best defensive lineup that you could put on the field would not have Devers at third base.
Now, here's what's interesting, okay, since you and I agree. Opening day, we think Raffy's a third baseman. Let's see how long
Great.
We think that's going to last.
Right.
Ultimately, do we both agree that Bregman will end up at third?
Yes.
Me too.
Yeah, I think ultimately he will. Campbell might have a lot to do with that. If Campbell is, you know, barely cut and maybe only cut at the end of camp because they want to mess around with the contract a little
sure.
bit and like the service time, but he's ripping the cover off at Worcester, he's going to leave him there all year? No,
yeah.
Like you're going to move him up. He's going to play second base. Bregman's going to play third. Devers is going to have to DH at that point, and then who knows what you do with Yoshida, but he just put so much, he being Devers, put so much attention on this story now.
Right.
It was like the lead MLB story all week.
I know.
And you're like, man, this guy is really adamant about it. And then, so my working theory on Casas is he's just kind of annoyed that he's been in trade rumors.
Yeah.
He's annoyed that people are all hyped up about Vlad Guerrero maybe coming in next year.
Yeah.
And there's maybe even a thought that if Devers moves off a third, would he potentially take some grounders over at first?
Right.
So Casas is just like, I'm just going to kind of add gasoline to the fire.
Yeah, I get it.
Because he's an odd dude, too.
He there's that.
Yeah.
Let's not
he's
gloss
a strange
over
bird.
Yes,
so.
He's a little different.
Yep.
I just think all of this is sort of a shame. It's great for us to talk.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a shame because this team is really talented. Like
we were so excited for like 3 days,
yeah.
And then these guys show up and start talking.
Yeah,
like, oh,
it's like, man, we should be excited about this team. By the way, going back to the Bregman thing, being a grown-up in the room, but one of the best things about signing him, he could do second, he could do third, as you and I think he'll end up. If Story goes down,
he could probably play short. Yeah, yeah.
Like, either way, this infield, no matter how you sort of stack it and mix and match lineup-wise, should be way more improved than we've seen in the years past.
It should be good. I'm all in on them making the playoffs.
I am, too.
You too? Yeah, yeah. I think they have to. Even before they signed Bregman, I was surprised. Looking at some of the future odds,
yeah,
that just the simple yes or no, will they make the playoffs, they were actually like minus 130 yes mm-hmm. to make the playoffs. And that was pre-Bregman. So now I feel even more confident that they're going to make the playoffs. Let's go to the phone, 617-779-7937. Bob is in Westboro, wants to talk about this. What do you got, Bob?
Hi. Actually, Middleborough, but that's okay.
All right, fair enough.
What do you think the chances are that Cora's more recent comments about Bregman working out at third are a way for him to try and motivate Devers to put in a little bit more work and try and improve himself defensively more?
Yeah.
Possible.
Maybe.
I mean, it's definitely possible.
Maybe.
But at this point, it's not like Devers has played a couple of years. Like, the equivalent would be Tristan Casas is not a great defensive first baseman, but he's been doing it not a super long time, and you're like, he's athletic enough, maybe he'll be able to figure it out. Is Devers going to get better defensively at third base? He's been at it for, what, 7 years in the majors and however long prior to that? Like, he's not a great defensive third baseman. I don't think he ever will be.
You know, you're speaking to something I think is even bigger than just a defensive third baseman. When you think about Devers, I mean, he's had some time now, not only to improve defensively, to just be the face, be the man.
Doesn't want it.
And that's where I'm going here. Because if you think about it, when I got here is when they let go of Xander. I only got one season of Xander.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's gone.
He was sort of like a shield for Devers.
Yes. Yep. And I that's why I'm bringing it up.
Yep, yep.
Because at that time, Xander leaves. Everyone's heartbroken. And it's like, okay, Rafi's got the juice now. It's his team. And I haven't felt that.
No, it's the opposite. There were times last year they would go on a losing streak.
Yes.
And where's Devers? Oh, he's gone. You know, so now somebody else has to answer the questions. Or, you know, a guy that's like in over his head maybe. Or, you know, if you sign that kind of contract, that kind of comes with the territory. And, yeah, he fit in great when you had Mookie Betts.
Yes.
And when you had Xander Bogaerts. And now it's sort of a different story, which also goes back to why Bregman was such a great signing.
That's
like,
right.
You needed a guy like that who can be kind of the leader, can be the face. Now, he's not locked up long term. He's not the, you know, 35 homer, 120 RBI guy that you hoped Devers will be.
Yeah.
But he's a solid pro.
Yeah.
He's, you know, 25 home runs somewhere in there.
Clubhouse guy.
Yeah.
Cora
that.
Guy.
World Series winner.
World Series winner. I mean, listen, maybe that's some of the frustration with Devers here. Maybe we sort of hit on it. Is like, he knows, okay, I've been here a few years. I haven't really shown that I'm the guy. And now he's looking around. He's like, oh, it's getting a little crowded in here. We got some real ballers in here. And maybe that pressure is starting to mount on him. And that's some of the frustration we're seeing.
Because last year at camp, he was the one that was saying, we need to spend. We need to bring in more players. Then they're like, all right, they did. They're like, well, not those guys. We don't want guys that play my position. I want somebody else. Let's go to Mark in Groton. He joins us next. What's up, Mark?
Hey, guys. First time, long time. Love the show.
Thank you.
I don't know if on Bregman and Devers, I don't know if you guys already talked about this, but it seemed like leading up to the signing of Bregman, it was a little bit touch and go for a period of time there. And I'm wondering if they had to give him some assurances that he'd see time at third in order to close the deal. What do you guys think?
I don't know. I think he had four offers from four different teams. They were all different. There was 2 6-year deals, a
Cubs,
4-year deal, and a 3-year deal.
Cubs. I don't remember who was what, but it was Cubs, Tigers, Astros, Sox.
And so the most average annual far and away was the Red Sox.
Yes.
And he has opt-outs after every year. I don't know. He came up as a shortstop out of LSU. So, like, he already moved to third. He's played third his whole major league career. But there were a lot of talks, even when he hit free agency, guys like Jeff Passan and Ken Rosenthal being like, he'd play second base on certain teams.
I believe him.
So I legit think he'll do what's best for the team. And in my opinion, third base is what's best for the team.
Yeah, I think Bregman, it was more about the philosophy of the contract. So when we first heard the ties to the Red Sox, it was he wanted a longer-term deal.
Right.
And he also wanted that from the Astros, who are not willing to go there either. And so over time, you know, he didn't get what he wanted in terms of long term. And so the Sox came back and gave him more AAV, shorter term, and we got the deal done. I'm sure Cora was a big part of that. I do not believe the assurance of playing third was involved. I don't. I think Bregman, I'm going to take him at his word.
Yep.
They'll play wherever you need him to. And that's one of the reasons why he's such a winner. Big picture, though. I'm so glad he didn't take the Tigers deal. He did get a long-term offer from them, like 6 or 7 years. I can't remember now.
Yeah, yeah.
The money was around close to what the Sox offered. That's a team that won 86 games last season and was a wild card team. They beat out the Red Sox and others.
Right.
So imagine if Bregman goes to the Tigers. That's now another team that's just over you consistently. You're not going to beat that team. Instead, he comes to the Red Sox. That's another part that no one really talks about. Like, you kept him away from a team that could potentially keep you out of a wild card spot. Now you have that guy.
Yeah, and I also think when you look at the division, you know, the Yankees lose Soto, the Orioles lose Corbin Burns, so you're like, all right, like, the Red Sox got better with Crochet and Bregman, and then other teams around them maybe got a little bit worse. So
Yeah,
you're more than evening the playing field. It's also been interesting to hear the reports out of spring training so far where Bregman has taken grounders at both second and third. So, like, if he was only going to play second, then why would he be doing any of that at third, right? And, like, third, he's got plenty of experience at third. So if you were dead set on him being the second baseman, you would just try to take this month, get him geared up for second base. But he's over there at third. So, I mean, that leaves the door open, doesn't it? I do want them, if whenever they make the switch, make the switch. And don't, I thought it was very unfair, and it was sort of out of necessity. But Seydon Rafaela last year, is in short, then he's in center. Then he's back to short, then he's in center. Then maybe give him a game at second. It's like, that's asking a lot out of a guy.
Sure.
Like, you don't need to move positions all the time.
He did pretty good, too, defensively.
And he did. He was great.
You know?
But, like, with Bregman, and I know he's a professional, and I'm sure he would do it. I'm sure he would hop back and forth. But don't you just want to kind of give the guy a position and be like, this is what you're doing?
I don't know. Some of me thinks baseball being so long, the season, this is like, this works to your advantage, I think. Because you can let it play out.
Keeps you on your toes.
Well, if I could use a quarterback analogy, Devers maybe has to play his way out of the starting spot.
Yeah.
Right? Like to use a quarterback.
But you
analogy.
Could also embarrass him, though.
Well,
if you put him at third and he's like, he's dead set on third.
Yeah.
And then the first homestand, he like boots the ball and the crowd's on him. And then the next homestand, he's not at third.
You're not embarrassing him.
Well,
he's embarrassing himself.
He's being embarrassed.
He's being embarrassed.
Okay. All right.
But my point is, in that scenario, because we both think eventually it's going to be Bregman, which means Devers plays himself out of the position.
Mm-hmm.
In that scenario, we're given. You've given this guy the chance.
Yeah.
You want to be third? There you go. Oh, another error. Oh, well.
Got it.
Sorry, Raph.
Yeah.
Right? I know.
Yeah, I guess that's what it would be. And I just feel like, I don't know if he was necessarily a fan favorite. I think people like that he can hit and
he's a baller.
Yeah, he went on some good stretches. Yeah. He has some memorable homers and hits. And like, remember when he took Chapman deep years ago? Like, he's got some big moments. But man, this week, his popularity did take a hit.
Yes.
People are annoyed at both Devers and Casas. I mean, you should hear like the amount of trade calls and texts and tweets we've gotten about both those guys, like shipping them out right now. I'm like, I'm not trading either one right now.
Well.
But listen, would you?
Listen.
Okay.
It's just you and I talking.
That's right.
Vlad Jr.
Well, yes.
Keeps, you know what he's doing? He's just flirty. He's just
flirty.
You know, the Red Sox. It's just, I'm just like.
His dad might be the GOAT.
For Vlad Jr., I'm willing to have a lot of conversations.
Okay. Well, speaking of, David in Florida wants to talk Vlad Guerrero. What do you got, David?
Hello, Richard. How you doing?
Good. What do you got?
So how long have I been giving you crap about Devers and you've been fighting me back? Well, you know, it's time that they get rid of him. It's just time that they get rid of him.
And
I'd like
DH?
To see him get.
Why can't he DH?
Because he's still a cancer on the team. If he can get a better baseball player, an all around baseball player, for him.
Just a DH is all I need. I wouldn't trade Devers. I wouldn't trade Devers to Toronto for Vlad, because Vlad's got 1 year left on his deal, and you could just throw a lot of money at him in the offseason and get him, and you could maybe even have both. Sure. You could have both of those guys. Yeah. And
they want to play. I think that's the whole thing, right?
When they want to play together?
Yeah, they're boys.
Yes. So Devers going to Toronto, and would they take him? And then he's like, I want to be a third baseman. And they're like, we do not want you to be a third baseman. Like, wouldn't that get in the way too? So what if it was Tristan Casas right now straight up for Vlad Guerrero? Would you do that?
Listen, I don't care who you name.
Oh, anybody.
I want Vlad Jr. Man, did you hear what I said?
All right, Crochet now, and Bregman.
It just so happens that you have Casas.
Yeah.
You know?
That's an easy swap because they play the same position. This guy seems like more of a headache.
What do you think about Masataka?
Oh, they want him. I mean, you'd probably have to pay him to play there, but sure.
Can I interest you in any of these prospects that you have?
No, I'm not trading.
How about this?
I'm not trading the young guys for 1 year of Guerrero.
Masataka, Casas,
done. You can have him.
A prospect within reason.
Okay, not the big three.
Right, prospect within reason or two.
Fine.
Yeah, I'd make that today.
I would do that as well. I think people are overreacting that would want to trade Devers right now. Like we agree he's not the face of the team.
Yeah,
but if you now have Bregman, and if you brought in Vlad Guerrero, Devers can go back to doing what he does, sort of like, you know, hide from the answering questions and like just go in the background and just hit. Like, yeah, he's going to be a highly paid DH, but you have a highly paid second baseman right now if that's where Bregman's playing. Like, you have highly paid guys all over the sport.
Yeah, the other thing for you to think about too, because I hear you that it would be a rental for Vlad Jr. contractually.
Mm-hmm.
But if he wants to be here, which is all the reports.
Yeah, extend him right away.
You get that done.
Yeah.
You know, you don't mess around. It's not like, you know, the Rays are trading for him where he's going to leave you, right?
But yeah, you don't want to. You want to be like the Dodgers with Mookie and not like the Yankees with Soto.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. I hear you. All right, let's go to Bill in Plymouth. What do you got, Bill?
Hey, if you look at the numbers by themselves, it just bears itself out. Right now, you have Devers. One out of nine times in a lineup, he can give you a benefit on offense, right?
Okay, yeah.
Okay, because he's only one player.
Right, one guy.
You put him out in the field, and 27 outs, he's a liability, potential liability, all right, because he cannot play the field. I'm not saying anything bad about the guy. He just can't play the field.
All right.
So if you were to turn around, well, hold on a second. I think they have to go for Guerrero. Mm-hmm. Get him and look for Bichette. All right? Bichette can be your DH. Guerrero can be your first baseman. Throw them Casas and Devers. And if you have to throw them two prospects, throw it to them. Because that's where you're going to bring a team. You're going to have Guerrero playing, hitting like Manny Ramirez used to hit for us. Okay? He's the ideal hitter for Fenway Park.
Yeah, I'll take Vlad Guerrero. I don't think you have to give him Devers.
You're not anti-Vlad.
Yes, sir, on Vlad Guerrero. Bring him in, have him play first base.
Sure.
You can move Casas out of town, have Devers DH, and have Bregman play third, have Campbell at second, and you're off and running.
Lineup.
That is. You don't have to sell me on that, but I think you'd be selling low on Devers if you all of a sudden you just flipped him right now, because he's under team control forever. So whether you keep him at third or you move him to DH, you have him long term. Whereas Guerrero, you still got to get that figured out.
I also think, too, there some of this is, you just mentioned the business side of the contract, but Toronto at this point has to feel like, God, this Vlad Jr. guy, we can't get him re-signed. He's turned into a pain in the arse here.
And they've missed out on everybody, too.
And they have. So why would you trade Vlad Jr.'s drama for Raffy's? If you're them,
seriously.
I'm just offloading all this and I'm starting over. I'm getting as many prospects as I can. I'm getting money off the books.
So Casas would be much more intriguing to them because he's a lot cheaper. There's a lot of potential there.
Yes.
He could be a great player.
That's
we don't really know yet.
And he's not as expensive.
No, God, no. And you have him under team control for a while.
Yes.
So that one makes a lot more sense. All right, you can join us at 617-779-7937. We have our Friday 4-pack of questions coming up next. Travis Thomas is in for Jones, but right now here is Billy Lanny with...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's trending? All right, time for the Friday 4-pack here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Jones is off today. Travis Thomas is in, and Billy Lanny's got four very important questions for us. Billy.
All right, first up, would a Four Nations tournament work for baseball?
All right, so it obviously wouldn't work for football. It, I don't think, would work for basketball. I actually like basketball in the Olympics, but it's very one-sided. It's, USA versus everybody else. I don't think you could get four super competitive teams. They've done the World Baseball Classic, and people seem to get pretty fired up for it. I think there is country pride in it. So if you took USA, Japan, the Dominican Republic, and Cuba or Venezuela, I think it'd be good. The problem with that is, depending on when you did it, you're not going to get a pitcher going full go. You would never get Garrett Cole for seven innings. He'd throw two. You know what I mean? And so it would be, I think everybody else would go all in. It's probably the only other sport that you could come as close to replicating the hockey four nations. So I'd say it's worth a shot. And maybe that's what the World Baseball Classic kind of is. I don't know when you would do it, though, to make it like the best it could be.
I agree with you. It can't work with football because it's such a U.S. thing. But I think for basketball and baseball, it could work. Absolutely.
Hoops?
Yeah.
Who's your four teams?
Well, listen, just think about this, how the NBA is now. Mm-hmm. Even our last however many MVPs, they've all been international.
I know, but I feel like they're mostly now France is kind of building something up, but I feel like they're a lot of one-offs. So, like, Jokic is amazing. Yeah. Giannis is amazing.
You'd have to figure out the representation of the teams. But I think it will work. I think anytime these athletes can play for their countries, they're going to turn up. In fact, you mentioned the World Baseball Classic, which I loved, and it sounds like you did too.
Mm, yeah.
But I think in basketball, that's how you fix the All-Star game.
You
make the Europeans against the Americans. Now we're talking.
So I don't know, like in season, so instead of the All-Star break, you would have like U.S. versus the world?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And so we had brought this up earlier, and I think the U.S. guys might be excited about it, but there is something special about putting on like the Team USA uniform or the Team Canada uniform. If you're just representing the world, I guess there is some pride in like seeing if you can beat the Americans.
Yeah.
But you also have sort of like a hodgepodge. You'd have like Canadian guys with French guys with Spanish
guys.
Yeah,
you'd have to figure that out.
You have to figure it out a little bit. But baseball, there may be something there. And maybe you do it every couple of years like in spring training. And the problem is it's spring training. And then these guys are also gearing up for what is about to be a marathon of a season.
Right.
Like, hockey's pretty unique in that sense where these guys took a break in the middle of their season and still went full tilt.
Yes.
And now they're all going to kind of pay the piper probably, though, in the second half. And a lot of guys are going to miss games and stuff like that.
Yeah.
All right, Bill.
Who will be the Jets' starting quarterback in week one?
Oh,
you
God.
Got one? You got a guy?
Oh.
Yeah, they're done with the Aaron Rodgers experience, and now they're in that QB carousel.
Where do they pick in the draft?
Seventh.
Anyone? Seventh?
So could they trade up maybe and get, like, Sanders or Ward? Or do you just go – I can't imagine they bring Sam Darnold back. I don't think they're going to go that route.
No.
I don't think they make sense for, like, I don't know, maybe, like, Russell Wilson?
Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins?
Right.
Kirk Cousins for a year?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're a J-E-T-E Jets.
If I had to pick one guy, I guess I'll go Kirk Cousins. Because everybody else, I feel like it's going to go somewhere else. They've burned bridges on a couple of them that are going to be moving teams. And I don't think they're going to have a chance to get the top two guys. So they might still draft one, but he probably won't start week one.
Right. I'll go Cousins.
Cousins? All right,
Cousins feels like a Jet.
We agree. Yeah, he does.
All right, do you want the Patriots to spend more money on offensive linemen or wide receivers this offseason?
Yes.
Please spend all of it. Just spend all of your money. So they need to spend money on both. I'm going to say receiver. And the reason I say receiver is because I'd be more satisfied with linemen coming out of the draft, which would mean like less money, than receivers. I don't want them drafting receivers anymore because it's been such a mess and they have all these young guys. So if you have to throw money at Devontae Adams or Chris Godwin, I would do that.
God.
You don't want those guys?
No.
Who do you want?
I want offensive line. Spend the money on the offensive line because the free agents on the offensive line are better than the free agents available at wide receiver.
So you might have to trade for a receiver too, but then you'd have to immediately pay him.
Right.
So if you got like DK Metcalf, it'd be a draft pick, but then you'd also have to give the guy a ton of money.
It was really devastating when we learned that the Bengals were going to franchise T. Higgins because that's the one guy everyone had as a Patriot. And then this question would never even be asked because the answer would be wide receiver.
Pretty obvious.
But now it complicates things. So I would much rather just invest in the O-line.
All right, fair enough.
Is there any way to fix the NBA All-Star game?
So I don't think so. I mean, you mentioned maybe trying to do a world, the U.S. versus world. I think the best bet is just to go back to East versus West and just do that instead of these, you know, four teams of eight and having the rising stars in it.
Yeah.
They tried the team captain thing with, like, you know, LeBron versus Giannis. But, like, that didn't really create any kind of rivalries that they thought it might.
This was atrocious.
This is bad.
With Chuck and Shaq.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's just draft our team.
Here's Kenny's All-Stars. I'm like, what the hell? Kenny's All-Stars.
I saw a thing that said that Kevin Hart actually talked more than the actual games were.
Yeah, I saw that breakdown where it was
crazy.
Like 3 hours. There was 42 minutes of basketball, and there was like Kevin Hart jokes mixed, quote unquote jokes, like mixed in throughout. There was a send off to TNT. There
Crazy.
Was like a concert. There was like all kinds of stuff. But yeah, they got to get rid of that. East West, there was clearly problems with it, but I don't really know what else you do. Guys aren't going to go full go. You can't recreate a Four Nations type of thing. And I think enough kids, like the viewership wasn't that bad. As bad as the product was, people still tune in for the
stars.
Three in the dunk in the All-Star game. They do. They still watch that. All right, there you go. There's your Friday four-pack. You can answer any of those questions as well at 617-779-7937. Let's go to Larry up in New Hampshire who wants to talk about the Sox. What do you got, Larry?
Hey, first of all, Maine, but who cares, right?
what is going on? What the hell? All right. All good.
Not to go all Jerry Maguire, but think of the role that Devers' agent could play in this, right? Raffy, every ball that you kick over at third base costs us money. And then it's also going to make you wildly unpopular at Fenway during the summer. So you make the switch, you go to DH, it prolongs your career, you become popular, you actually show that you do have some leadership qualities. But, you know, the problem is all managers are yes guys, right? I mean, that's pretty much what they're dealing with. But I think if I'm his agent, I would be like, listen, you've got to do this, man.
Well, I'll tell you what, Larry, his agent already did his job. I don't know if Devers is ever going to sign another contract. Like, he's done. Like, he can commit an error every chance he gets next year. He's not losing any money.
Facts.
So I think he's losing popularity. If his agent's worried about that at all for, I don't know, endorsements or something, but he signed a massive contract and he's getting that money. He's paid through the 2033 season. I think he's good.
He's good.
So he gets 30. So this year he gets $29.5 million. That's whether he's a third baseman, a DH, or doesn't play all season. Like, he gets all that money. It's a baseball contract. If it was a football contract, I could see his agent being like, hey, we got to figure this out. But as a baseball contract, every penny is guaranteed.
His agent's already done
his
job.
He's done. I might not have to speak to him ever again.
His agent's like, in the Hall of Fame.
Seriously, with that contract, he's doing great. Let's go to Peter in Franklin. What's going on, Peter?
Hey, how we doing, guys? Hey, I just wanted to bring up a point, and thanks for taking my call. I'll let you guys talk about it. Last night I saw McAvoy. I saw a sling on his right shoulder.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And every time he goes into that post, it's his left shoulder. So, you know, I'm just making that point. You guys talk about it. Thank you for taking the call and have a good day.
All right, Peter. Thanks for the call. Do we have to?
Thank you, Nick.
Do we have to go over this? All right, let's take a look.
Tinfoil hat on.
So, sling is on the right arm.
Brian Windhorst's fingers.
Yeah. Well, it's a right shoulder injury, they're calling it.
Okay.
But he says, based on his detective work, he was crashing him with his left.
Interesting.
I don't know what to tell you.
Interesting.
Now, let me ask you this.
All right.
Does it matter?
No.
Okay.
Not a bit.
All right. That's what I was looking for. He's hurt. He's like week to week. There's some speculation he might not even play the rest of the season, whether it's a elbow, shoulder, knee, head. The way the Bruins are looking at it, like, he's out. Good job by Terp showing the video now on Twitch and on YouTube where you can watch the show. And so Mac, it was good that he was back in the garden. Like, he had that thing on Instagram where he was leaving the hospital. So, like, that's great. But, I mean, we have no idea when we're going to see this
he's
guy again
out.
For the Bruins. Out, yeah.
That's,
yeah.
I mean, case closed. The dude is out.
Yeah.
So regardless what arm the sling is on, he ain't in there.
Bruins should also be out, but we'll see what they decide to do.
Yeah.
They're currently on the outside looking in, and trade deadline is a couple of weeks away, but it's only, I think, 7 games away, including this weekend against Anaheim. Now, right. Travis did bring up the point that they don't have a murderer's row.
They don't.
Out of the chute.
Yeah.
But I just hope that doesn't give them, like, a false sense. Like, if they win 3 in a row, is Cam Neely and Don Sweeney like, we're in this? It's well, you don't have McAvoy, and the schedule will eventually level out again.
That's what I was trying to tell you earlier is, you know, Ducks, Preds, Pens, some of these games, they should win these games. Mm-hmm. And I could see. I personally believe they should be sellers. So do you.
Yep.
But I'm just telling you, we've seen this happen before where it's like, oh, they get hot. Maybe they have a shot. Maybe we should add to this. I do think in a lot of ways it would be a disservice to the future of the Bruins to not sell right now. I think you have to start thinking about the future around here.
Yep, agreed.
You do.
Agreed.
I mean, we've been so spoiled with this team lately.
They've made the playoffs 9 straight years or whatever it is, but like they got to break through.
And I know everyone goes back to a few years ago when they broke all the regular season records, and that was supposed to be the team, and this was the greatest regular season we've ever seen, and they flamed out. But that, although that was Heartbreak City, again, that was part big picture of a team that's been a perennial playoff team and isn't that far removed from a Stanley Cup run. So I think at this point you have to start thinking about the future when you're the Bruins, and maybe this would be a good time to start offloading some pieces.
Let's go to Chuck in Maine. He joins us next. What's going on, Chuck?
Good morning, fellas.
Morning. I got nothing there. I can't hear.
I mean, I was trying.
It was the call screen says both World Baseball Classic and Tom Brady. So I was fascinated how he was going to tie those in.
Chuck, call us back. I need to know.
Just because he was going to ask about him, do you think Tom Brady stays in the booth? This is a. I think he's going to be done. I think he's going to take on more of a role with the Raiders.
You do?
Yeah. You think he's going to be calling games again next
year? Did you see the contract he signed with Fox?
I did.
You think he's just going to up and walk out of that?
But he's also got like a million like restrictions, and I don't think at the time he signed it he knew what kind of role he was going to have with the Raiders.
I'm going to look this contract
up. It's a lot of money.
Because I tell you what,
it's a lot of money.
He knew the bottom line of that contract.
All right, let's see what Chuck wanted to say. Chuck, what do you have?
Sorry about that.
Oh, good.
Hey, years ago, Brady did an interview here on EEI. He called in on his weekly radio show, or weekly show, and he basically said that, like, that's why he was always going to be hated in the rest of the country, because he could never in football put on a USA uniform, where like in baseball, if you hated the Yankees, if one of the players had a USA uniform on for the World Baseball Classic, you were going to still root for him.
Right.
And Brady could never get that in football. And that's why he would never be like nationally popular.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. It's a good call. So that's how you tie it in. I was like, how the hell you tie this in? No, but it is true. Like, I remember watching, you know, back in the day, like Kobe Bryant or LeBron playing for Team USA, two guys that I couldn't stand as a Celtics fan, and yet they're Team USA. Like, all right, you're rooting for them. And the same thing, like, if Aaron Judge is playing for the USA, like, all right, I'm rooting for Aaron Judge all of a sudden.
Yeah.
You're like last night, rooting for Auston Matthews. Like, you're rooting for all the guys on Team USA, so I get it.
Can we go back to this Brady thing?
Yeah,
I have my information.
Yeah, what do you got?
$375 million.
Yeah.
He will be in that booth.
Yeah, I guess. But he could still get some of that and be like a Fox ambassador or something.
Well, Fox has put all their eggs in that basket, too.
I know.
I don't think he's going anywhere.
Yeah,
why would you?
Well, I don't know if he's going to be kind of forced out of it. Like, they already told him he can't talk about officials.
That's right.
He can't meet with teams during the week.
Yeah.
There's like certain things he can and can't do. So if I'm Fox, I'm almost like, well, we signed you thinking you were going to be able to do the full job, and you can't. So I wonder if they would be like, let's just get back to Greg Olsen.
See, now that's the key.
Yeah.
If Fox wants to go a different direction, that's different.
Yeah, yeah.
Buyout, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he could do more with the Raiders.
So,
but I think if it stays the way it is, by the way, not for nothing, I thought Tom got better as the season went on. And I actually thought he did a really good job in the Super Bowl. Now, some of that could just be giddy that the Chiefs were losing.
Right.
Patrick wasn't playing well, and it's like, yeah, who's the GOAT now? I told you, right?
That probably helps.
And that probably helped.
Yeah.
But I thought Tom did a really good job. As the season went on, he got better, and then the Super Bowl was fantastic.
All right, you can weigh in, 617-779-7937. We'll hit on a brief, what are you watching? Some of the TV and movies out there right now. We'll do that next. Travis Thomas is in for Jones here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. All right, back here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI on this Friday program. Travis Thomas from Nesson is in for Jones today. And Travis, I'm a big TV and movie guy.
Me too.
What have you been watching recently? What shows are you currently watching?
Just finished Severance Season 1.
Hell yes.
So now I'm pivoting into Season 2.
Perfect.
White Lotus, Reacher, I'm all in.
I've not watched. So it's Season 3, Episode 1 of White Lotus was this past Sunday. How is it? I've not watched it yet.
It's always confusing, the first episode. I mean, they're all... Every season of White Lotus starts out the same. You're trying to follow everything.
Yeah.
Reacher, I'm a big fan of. I haven't started the new one yet, but I am going to.
So Severance, I love. And on the Dork podcast, we've been doing weekly recaps now because that show is so in depth. So they're halfway through season two. So yeah. I'm sure you can rip up that pretty quick.
Yeah, I should catch up quickly.
Show's wild.
It is really wild. Yeah. I like the concept, yep. Obviously. Season one was great, as you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to think another one. We just finished Silo as well, which I think is Apple TV.
That is Apple. Yeah, Rebecca Ferguson show. It's a good sci-fi
it's really good.
Type of show. Speaking of Apple, there's a movie called The Gorge. We got a text about it, too. I
saw
a
commercial for that. You saw it?
I watched it. Decent.
Okay.
Decent. So it's like a sci-fi type of thing. So it's Miles Teller and Anya Taylor-Joy.
Both good.
Yeah. And they like basically just them. And they're on like separate sides of this giant gorge. And they're like responsible for keeping things from coming out.
Okay.
So there's like, yeah, it's a whole story. A little bit of romantic kind all of right. thing as well.
I can dig it.
But yeah, not bad. So first,
yelling
movie,
across the gorge at each other. Like,
hey! Farting. No, they do the thing from Dawn of the Dead where they would like write on the thing and then they would use the binoculars.
Oh, and yeah. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Is there more action than romance? Or is there more romance
Ooh,
than action?
It might be equal.
Then I'm not.
You're
I'm
out.
I'm out.
There's good action, though.
I know,
action.
But I don't.
You don't like romance.
I do, okay. But I want more action. Like,
right.
So you guys have seen it. I just saw the trailer.
Yeah.
In the trailer, it makes it seem like there's more action than romance.
Okay. Decent
so
action.
I feel like.
It's a good connection between the two.
Yeah,
it's
but.
It's palpable.
I want to see them, like, violent together.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to see them making sweet love. Like, I don't need that.
All right.
Well, I need shoot them up, bang, bang.
Shoot them up, gay. Okay. Billy watched something recently that I was shocked that it was even good. So there's been a million different OJ documentaries
yes.
and series and like straight up shows. So there was another one that popped up on Netflix, and Billy, you're telling me this is good.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for all things OJ.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's just something I'm into.
Yeah.
If you're going to tell me a story about it, if you have new information or tell me old stuff, I'm into it.
Yeah.
So the show is called Manhunt, which wasn't okay. It wasn't really a manhunt.
No, we watched them drive 40 miles an hour yeah. on the thruway.
So the title throws you off a little bit, but again, it's just a couple different perspectives of it. They show you a bunch of evidence that clearly should have been used but was completely ignored. And
starting
stuff
to think
like
he
that.
Did it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So it was four episodes. Each episode was a little bit over an hour. If you're into this and just mind blown how it all went and the whole fiasco of it, it's definitely worth your time.
Do you find yourself caring about like all the Aaron Hernandez docs the same way? Or
I got through two episodes of the Aaron Hernandez thing on FX, and I'm like, all right, this isn't.
So it's just OJ for you.
Yeah, pretty much. No,
okay.
OJ and JFK.
Okay.
Also, right. like two major events that I'm like.
Did you listen to the JFK podcast with Rob Reiner?
I did not know.
Unreal.
Really?
Unreal.
He was tells it like Rob Reiner's podcast, or was he just a guest on someone's podcast?
It might have been like a standalone kind of podcast. It was him and somebody else like did like a whole thing, and they unpacked everything.
And that's what it is.
They even tell you who
things.
Did it.
Right.
And between it's not Lee Harvey Oswald.
Oh, was it the mobster? I read some article about
they have
this
a whole
mobster.
They have a whole breakdown.
They got a whole thing. Those two stories are just so fascinating because there's a million question marks. How did it happen?
Right.
Why did it happen? How is this guy not guilty when they had so much on him? You know what I mean? There was one line, and the guy said it perfectly. He was, I can't remember what his name, but he worked with Johnny Cochran. And the way he was explaining, he goes, think of all the evidence as a bowl of spaghetti. And you're eating up it up. You're eating it up. You're eating it up. But all of a sudden, there's a cockroach in that bowl of spaghetti.
Mm.
Do you continue to eat or do you throw it out? And that's how he like represented the evidence. I'm like, damn.
I kind of keep eating probably. I'm a sicko.
Like, but again, it's one of the.
I probably just moved
I'm not going to waste that spaghetti.
I'm not going to eat the cockroach. It's
perfectly cooked. Yeah, I'll eat around it. But I was interested in it. But again, I'm fascinated by all things OJ.
Got it.
And also on Netflix, I don't know who's watching it, but it ended perfectly. Cobra Kai.
I bailed.
So that's
Cobra
over.
Kai.
Over. The series
over.
Is over.
Wrapped up.
Okay.
Six seasons. They're right. about a
Six
half hour,
seasons.
40 minutes.
And that was a movie this year, too, coming
out. Yeah, they got a new one with Macho and Jackie Chan.
My God.
Good for him. He ran up a bag.
He did.
Years later.
He absolutely did. He cashed in on
the second win, baby. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's good. I'm trying to think what else. So, Traitors. Nick and I have been watching The Traitors, which is a reality show on Peacock. That's been fantastic. The morning show is All In on Paradise, which is fine. It's a show on Hulu.
They do make it sound like the greatest show.
They love it. And I'm like, man,
what's
I got like
Paradise?
Paradise.
Is it like a dating show?
No. This one's also kind of sci-fi-ish, a little post-apocalyptic kind of thing, but also like a whodunit kind of all wrapped around. Trying to think. Sterling K. Brown is in it and James Marsden is in it.
Okay.
It's interesting, but it's not like it's not Severance good or some of these other shows.
Do you think it's not as good because you're comparing it to other good shows like that?
Maybe. That could be part of the problem. But, like, I don't know. There's not enough time in the world to watch a lot of bad shows.
Well, that's
or even average shows. You might, there's so many good ones out there.
Did you watch the free movie on Prime with Will Ferrell and Reese Witherspoon? I think it's called. I'm looking it up now. You're Cordially Invited.
That one's probably got quite a bit of romantic stuff.
I was forced to watch
it. Probably no action.
But it was no action. But it was funny. Yeah. It was funny.
Okay.
Check that out. Right. It's on Amazon Prime.
All right, very good. You can hit us up. You can text him in. Same number as the call-in, 617-779-7937. 2 hours down, 2 hours to go on Jones and Keefe with Travis Thomas in for Jones. We'll get back to the Four Nations and sort of what the after effect will be for both the Bruins and the rest of the NHL. We'll do that coming up next year on WEEI.